Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 71st Venice International Film Festival. Today I'm joined by Anna Reilly and Janet Jones-Kretzky, actresses in the film The Sound of the Fury by James Franco, screening here out of competition. So how's the relationship between you two characters, since you don't really see that a lot in the film?
Yeah, I think our relationship is very, very strained, and in fact is
separated in a way.
The reason for Caddy's spinning out and leaving, I think that, and I'm not speaking for you, but from my point of view, a very harsh relationship, and one with a lot of pressure and disappointments. And
my belief in life was that I wanted more for her and what she could do for the family and us, and she was a young free spirit and wanted to live her life. And when a mother and a daughter has that relationship, as you know, even in modern day, it can be difficult. I have five children of myself. I have an older daughter, 25, and when they want to do things differently, it really throws you off your track as a mother. And in this film, I believe it was much like that, because I probably put her up on a pedestal too much and wanted too much from her, and I got mad, and she went out of the gray area, and
but you're right, you see, it's the interesting film. That we don't see that he doesn't. We're meant to just kind of assume what happens,
like a real mother-daughter.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you're too similar.
Yes, and I find that with my daughter. And I mean, you have a relationship with your mother. I don't know, but yes, when two women are very similar, the mother and the daughter, it can cause, you know, because you're strong-minded, and I believe Caddy had her strong beliefs.
And you can probably could see in Caddy the things that would worry you, or
yes,
what path she was headed down, that you
because
would try to
and
stymie
I didn't
her.
I want her to live the life I lived. I mean, I was, I felt like I had avenging God, and God did all these things to me, and I wanted better for Caddy. I wanted her to be in love, but I wanted to orchestrate it, which is not so good for a beautiful young girl.
Which is also why she gets along with her father so well.
Her father and her brothers. She loved her brothers immensely. Because they found that freedom love with her, and they just were enamored by her. They didn't have all the rules with Caddy, but Caddy was the boss, and she ruled the boys.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you could see that beautiful relationship from child to adult.
Have you talked while preparing your roles about your own relationship with your mom in Anna's case, and with your daughters in Janet's case?
Well, I have a very loving relationship with my mother in real life, so I wasn't drawing on that particularly, but I do certainly understand the feeling of not living up to someone's expectations, and because of that, forging your own path and deciding to carve out a life for yourself, even if it's not what is expected of you, especially as a woman in the South during that time. I think that takes a lot of guts. Takes a lot of guts anyways, but
back then, even more.
Yeah, so I didn't draw on my own relationship with my mother, but just those feelings of disappointing someone and how you react to that.
Since your characters are described in the book only through somebody else's point of view, in this case the three brothers, how did you work on developing these characters, since you can only take, you know, things, their characteristic for somebody else's point of view and thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always thought it was so interesting and frustrating that Caddy didn't have a chapter. I wanted Caddy's chapter so badly. But then it's equally interesting that it's all left to, that she is kind of this...
You're in every character. You're in every chapter.
You're in every character.
Yeah, you're in so much of everybody's
mind. And so, I don't know, I felt like it was important, not that I didn't want Caddy to be rooted as a real human being, but I also did think it was important to kind of, or I thought about capturing this dreamlike quality of hers, because that's how she is seen through their eyes. So I mean, I read the book a million times and tried to defer from each character what things, what they might have been interpreting and what that might have actually meant about certain her actions. But I also, in trying to represent the book faithfully, wanted to keep in mind that we were not seeing a real human. We're seeing we're seeing her through their lens, and to honor that as well.
We know that you smell like trees.
Yeah, I smell like trees. I'm the water. We do hear that a lot. I don't know how that informed me, but I guess there is. I did take from all of that that she's comforting, and there's a freedom to her. You know, even those symbols that represent her signified something to me about her inner life.
As a mother, I think James, when he cast me, he knew what he was doing because, I have not worked for, you know, I did a little part for them, for Gia Coppola and James in Palo Alto playing a mother role. Of course, it wasn't as big or involved as this, but I think he knew what he was doing when he cast me because I am a mother of five. I know much more today about the whole story than when I was put into it. But he knew what he was doing to get me raw and to take from, you know, what I knew in my real life. I don't think an acting class could have taught me that the last 25 years in raising children and how they're all different and how you treat your daughter different than your son. And I believe, I wish I had a chapter because I could have really, like, said what I wanted of these children, but I hope that came across. And she's different. I love my children very much. I think she loved her children, but she was so always disappointed and miserable. But, you know, in real life, I try not to be that. But you do have expectations for your children, and you want the best for them. So it was a lot of heartache for the mother, you know. The husband letting her down, being an alcoholic. You know, leaning on the one that was so stern and not happy either, Jason. And then Quentin, who was just a poor soul and in his own world. And then Caddy doing everything that she did. It was just wearing down the mother. And then to be left alone. And then she had a certain pride, which I do in my real life, have a certain pride that you have to live up to and an image. But you try to be, I don't know, it was very relatable for me, but in a different time in life. But I could see that mothers and families, it's very easily translated to now in modern day of what we went through back then. It's just that it was very destructive. You know, we weren't able to help each other that much, in a sense, where I believe Caddy would have loved to embrace her brothers more, being that the mother pushed her out. It was hard for her to keep giving that to her brothers that loved her so dearly, even though she did it. They missed her so much, and it ruined their lives to not have her in their lives, because maybe the mother wasn't present for them. And because the father let her down, and the name let her down, and the church and the community and the image and everything. But it was just to watch it today on film and see it all come together was such a thrill, and it was so great to see all the actors' performances and melt together.
One more thing about not having a chapter that came to me. We did As I Lay Dying as well. And in that one, Dewey Dell, the sister, does have a chapter. And I was just thinking about the difference I felt working on Dewey Dell versus Caddy and not having that material. There was a way in which I felt like with Caddy, I was kind of always chasing her, and I couldn't quite grasp her. But that, I think, was how the brothers felt. You know, they all had this idea of her and couldn't quite hold on to her.
They were losing everybody.
Yeah,
losing everybody.
Whereas with As I Lay Dying, I felt much more like, I know who she is. Caddy was kind of elusive to me. I mean, and I tried to bring as much of a human quality to her as I could. But anyways, that was just
that beautiful
an afterthought.
Scene through the window is my favorite scene with you and Benji. I think that was probably one of the best scenes in the movie, where she comes as she's, and that chemistry they had between each other through the window makes me like get the goosebumps now.
Anna, did you meet your younger version, and did you talk to her to sort of synchronize your performances?
We, isn't she? I love her. We spoke on the phone. She's a local Mississippi, you know, girl, and so she and I spoke on the phone a couple times, and I talked to her a little bit about, okay, so you know, about the accent, so that we could try to sound kind of similar, and you know, we didn't have to do much because she is a real natural and just had that. spunky spark that I think Caddy as a child does have, that I think as she's older we kind of see fade, because she's a survivor at that point. She's not this fire plug, but you see it in, or spark plug, you see Miss Quentin kind of has the same personality as little Caddy, and I think that is so, I love that that's captured. So we didn't do too much. We just, when we were down there, we would hang out, and but it was mostly talking on the phone and talking about the dialect, and you know, we talked about Caddy and her different relationships with the different brothers, but she didn't need much, you know. She really was very instinctual, and
all the children I thought were wonderful in the movie. I thought the casting was brilliant, the way they cast the little kids to the older actors, and I thought they captured that great. The children are beautiful. I mean, the way Caddy comes to the screen, and you just want to. And the running with the hair, it's just magical. And she brought that little, that spirit with her as a little girl. And she was like, I'm mommy. You all pay attention to me. And running around the whole film with them, you know, the whole story.
And the way she was already aware when she was a child, how you, for example, when she's defending her brother, like, try to convince her older brother and her father that's not the right behavior towards your brother. Like, that hit me, because she's so aware of things. Like, she's so like an adult.
She was aware. She orchestrated them all, and Caddy, as an adult, did too. I mean, she knew exactly what she needed of the boy. She didn't want anybody to take Benjamin away. She wanted this boy to watch that boy if she had to go. She was the mother.
And I think it goes back to, like, at that time, that took so much gumption to do that. And I think she just was a person with a purpose and a force behind her. And that little Caddy is really wonderful.
So thank you, Anna Riley and Janet John Kresge, for being here with us for The Sound and the Fury. And this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 71st Venice International Film Festival for FRED, the festival insider.
FRED Film Radio, 24/7 on FRED.fm and smartphone apps.